So we're going to continue the family training.
And just to ask,
Everyone was here last week, last Lord's Day, or anyone missed?
Okay.
So we are right now going to touch this topic related to dealing with the soul. And I'll try to give just a little summary of what we did last week as well. And so on the one side, we're very thankful to the Lord that He has saved us, right? And there was a point in our life, Brother Jim was saying 50 years ago, he was not a believer. So at that point, his spirit was dead. And he only had a soul. Well, he has a spirit, but a soul and a body. And then his living in a way is basically his own thoughts. He will have his own emotions. He has his own will. He will do whatever he wants. So this soul gets expressed in his body, in his flesh. That's a soulish person. But then comes the day when he receives the Lord, right? John 3:16. Praise the Lord, whoever believes into him. So it's not just believing, but being one with him. He's joined to this life. The spirit comes into. And so he now has a spirit of God with his spirit united. And then we also must understand and see Romans 8:29 speaks about we have been predestinated to be conformed to the image. So there has to be an expression, right? So once we are saved, we need to understand that our spirit is very important and plays a crucial portion in our life from then on. So we can see that in our spirit, we have three parts. We have fellowship. This is what allows us to contact God, right? To turn to the Lord, have fellowship with Him. We also have an intuition. The intuition allows us to sense God, to sense what's His will. The intuition allows me to know that God exists. I don't need a textbook for that. Science, I know God exists. And there is also a conscience. After man's fall, this conscience becomes a very strong part in our spirit. And the reason is because the Lord uses this conscience to make us aware what He is against and what He approves, what He justifies and what He rejects. And it also is a way to allow God to govern among us, our conscience. But we also saw that when we are not taking care of our conscience because of sin against God, against people, against man, then there is something that, you know, there is a feeling inside of us that is not adequate. And this feeling is condemnation. And we lose this presence of, you know, the Lord. We lose, actually, we don't have peace anymore. So we need to turn to the Lord. 1 John 1:7, right? We pray to the Lord. We claim His blood. And then we are free, right? And our conscience gets, you know, treated adequately. And so now we have a good conscience, but we need to aim for a pure conscience. Conscience that is aligned with a pure heart that desires God. So when we come to the matter of the soul, in the soul we have also three parts. We have the mind, we have the emotion, and we have a will. And then in our soul, the mind is the leading, the most prominent part. It's actually what shows someone's personality. It's the person. So, for example, Mark is very different from me, even though he's my son. We are very different people because he has his own personality and I have my own personality. And we are thankful to the Lord that He did not make all of us a whole bunch of robots or clones that have the same mind. We are very unique in that way. But then we need to consider how the soul needs to be dealt with in God's purpose. And so we're going to go through Roman numeral 1, basically our soul, which is our very self, is of three parts, the mind, the will, and the emotion. And there are these couple of verses that explain that we have a soul, even in the Old Testament. And then Roman numeral 2 explains about dealing with the mind. And I want to focus on Romans 12:2 first, which is, do not be fashioned according to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove that the will of God is that which is good and well-pleasing and perfect. And so we need to understand that what type of situation we are currently. And when we see this word of not be fashioned, it means basically do not be assimilated to the current trend, to the current situation. And so everything that is around us, we are in an age right now, which is part of the world. The world has different ages. So for example, if you consider how was the world in the 1800s, it's very different from today. And even every decade, there has to be a different age. And we have to see how Satan utilized this situation to actually try to usurpate us to him. Because when we are talking about the age, we're talking about a trend. We're talking about trying to be modern to this type of age. And very simple examples. You can see that today outfits are very different from 10 years ago, right? And many times, I mean, you know, we are focused, oh, I have to dress, you know, to the current modern age, right? So these are things that happens constantly, and Satan uses these things to try to control us. Because Satan knows that if he can control our mind, which is the leading part of our soul, he pretty much has won the battle in many ways, right? And so other examples are that actually are in the Exorcist, just the way how we spend money. How do we spend money? Like, do we have a transformed mind of how we spend money, or we are spending money for the things that we just want because we're trying to be up to date with the trend, right? I want to have an adequate, you know, shoes, because everyone has this type of shoes. I want to have the most new cell phone because everyone has a Galaxy S, I don't know what number now. But so that type of trend, when your mind is set on that type of thought, you know, it's just a way for the enemy to try to control us. And it's the same way for young people, your thoughts about career. Are your thoughts actually governed by the Lord, that you consider my career should be for Christ and for the church life? Or is this your independent thoughts about how should I live? What type of career should I take? So I think this is very crucial to see that the Lord, his desire is that we will be transformed. And it says here that we should not be in this age. It's a system that Satan will utilize, but we will be transformed. And then this transforming factor, it involves a metabolic process. The transformation involves that this mind of us and our soul actually needs a divine substance to be added into us that comes from our mingled spirit. So the Lord really, what he needs is for us to turn to him moment by moment, so that every time when we turn to him, he has a way to spread from our spirit all the way to our mind, our emotions, and our wills. And then by doing this, we become spiritual people. The soul becomes the organ of expression. What is in the spirit? We are not fleshly people or soulish people. We are spiritual people. And the soul is a transformed soul. And so then it comes with this part that it says, by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that is, which is good and well-pleasing and perfect. So this portion of the renewing of the mind is the basis of the transformation. And this is when this new element is, this divine element is added to us. That is a metabolic process. You know, in word, in science, metabolism, there is a subpart of metabolism which is called anabolism, when there is something new that is produced. And so this is, in the spiritual sense, is exactly the same. This life is being produced in us. Amen. Is being added to us. Amen. And so we are being, you know, we're being conformed. Eventually, the conformation that is in Romans 8:29 is the end result of the transformation process. And so when there is this expression that comes from our spirit, our mind, our emotion, and will gets transformed. And there is a conformation. And so eventually it says that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and well-pleasing and perfect. And this will of God is just the body of Christ. It is, this is his fullness, this is his expression. And so in Romans 8:6, there is another verse, important verse that says, for the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. So our mind has this ability to stand neutral. And it has the ability to decide which way to go. It can go to the flesh, but the only result there is death. But it also can go to the spirit.
Amen.
And it can align itself with the spirit. And then this will bring us to the enjoyment of God. In this alignment, we find the law of life. We find this divine life that is in us. So I think that we also need to understand and try to see as well that many times we have this feeling in our spirit. It's like in our intuition, we have this sense of the spiritual things. But for us to really understand the spiritual things, we need to have our mind. Our mind cannot, if our mind is in other things, it will never understand the spiritual things. And that's the reason why we are here. We present ourselves to the Lord. We turn to Him. We read the Word. It's because we want to be, you know, one with Him. And so I think, let's see. So how do we practice setting our mind in the spirit? That's I think, is a very important question. How to practice? I mean, we know that we have this portion in our soul. It's the prominent part. How do we practice to align ourselves to the spirit? Does anyone has a thought? How do we practice? Because one thing is to set our mind, but then the next portion is actually to have it renewed. So how do we practice setting our mind in our spirit? Because someone, Romans 12:1 says that we need to be living sacrifices, so our body is necessary to be present, you know, in this church life, in our meetings, in our Lord's table, in a prophesying meeting, in you know, our trainings. But you can be physically there, but your mind can be, I don't know, in China, it can be in Mexico, it can be with the World Cup, it can be with some homework that I have to do, it can be some projects. So. Both things are required. Physically present, our bodies are present, but our mind set in the spirit. And I think a practice that I'm trying to do is, because I think I'm not very different from any of you, but my mind goes very quickly somewhere else, constantly. But we have to exercise ourselves to be brought back. You know, when I'm trying to be sitting in the meeting, I don't want to be thinking on other things. When I'm trying to touch the word, I don't want to be thinking about what is my day and what are the things I need to do. So I call on the name of the Lord, Lord Jesus. And with prayer, I try to be brought back and put my mind in the spiritual things. And then as the day goes through, as I'm going, you know, during the busy day, and if I touch the verse in the morning, I try to remember that verse and go back to the verse and try to touch the verse and enjoy the verse. And then keep that type of fellowship with the Lord. So the more we keep doing that type of exercise, when we turn to the Lord and we put our mind in things of God, in the Word, it can be a message, it can be, you know, a prayer, and we're constantly exercising our mind, His divine life has a way to infuse Himself and renew and add that, you know, metabolic process, add that divine component in our mind. The more that happens, the more our soul is being transformed, we're getting closer to be conformed. But we must see something, saints, is that this matter of dealing with the soul is for a lifetime. This is why the Lord has given us life today. It's not, you know, once we are saved, it's very quick. We receive this life. But to have this transformation of our soul, the Lord has given us time, which is His time, and a life to turn to Him and you know, be with the Lord. And so even in Ephesians, just to finish, 4:23, it speaks about, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Eventually, when we turn our mind to the spirit, and the Lord has a way to control that, so this mind is not independent and it's not free to do whatever it wants, then it becomes the spirit of the mind. And then it allows the Lord to, you know, to renew us. And it also involves a lot of taking the cross and being in resurrection. You know, it's turning to the Lord. So I think as we go through this week portion, I think we need to consider, you know, how, you know, we need to turn to the Lord and pray, Lord, you know, we need to be transformed and put the mind in the spirit, align it. It's like you have two rooms, open the door, so that between the spirit and the mind there is direct flow. And then constantly, you know, praying and making the Lord our thoughts.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen, saints. So our soul is just our person. I'd like to bring up Brother Jim as an example. He was saved 50 years ago. And after he got saved, he received the Lord. So where was the Lord? The Lord was inside of him. But where is the Lord inside of him? The Lord entered into his spirit. The Lord made his spirit life.
David, can you cut the girl sisters? Can you come over here?
Sure, sure. Amen. Romans 8:10 says, "But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness." And verse 11 says, "If the spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who indwells you." So here we see that God dwells in Jim. God dwells in Jim by means of his spirit. But the Lord does not want to just remain in Jim's spirit. So for the past 50 years, the Lord has been doing one thing.
Amen.
The Lord has been spreading from Brother Jim's spirit to all the parts of his soul.
Amen.
In Ephesians chapter 3, we see that the Lord wants to make his home in our heart.
Amen.
But how does he make his home in our heart? He has to spread from our spirit into the different parts of our soul. Our soul is very complicated. Our soul has a mentality, an intellect, feelings, emotions, intentions, a will. The Lord wants to spread into all these parts of our being. And I was curious about this word, spreading and saturating. And I looked up the definition of the word saturate. It's very interesting. It says that saturating is to fill completely, to soak thoroughly. And one example that was used in the definition was soil being soaked thoroughly. And what I'm doing right now in my profession is I work with soil. And there are certain types of soil that don't allow water to soak through. And it may take days or weeks before the water can reach maybe a foot below the soil. Well, what about us? Like our brother shared, the transformation of our soul takes a lifetime. Because it really takes time for the Lord to spread from our spirit into all the parts of our soul. And I would like to flip to Philippians chapter 2, because this encouraged me very much. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who operates in you both the willing and the working for his good pleasure." And the verse before that, in verse 12, says, "So then, my beloved, even as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much rather in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." So these verses show us that on the one hand, God is operating. God is spreading. God is saturating. But we also have to cooperate. Brother James shared this morning about the children's camp. And one word that he used was cooperation. It's not easy to cooperate with God. Sometimes we think that we're doing something for God that's cooperating. But the Lord may expose you afterwards and say, "That wasn't what I wanted. Yes, that was good and that was moral, and that was ethical. But that wasn't what I wanted." So what do we need to do? We need to open to the Lord in our spirit. The first step is always to open to the Lord in our spirit. And allow the Lord to enlighten our mind. The mind is spoken of in Romans 12:2. Because the mind is the leading part of our inner being. When our mind is enlightened and is under the control of the Spirit, then our entire being will also turn and follow. That includes our will, and that also includes our emotion. Our will has to be under the control of the Spirit. And I was just considering this week, what does it mean for our will to be under the control of the Spirit? And there are some verses in the New Testament. The Lord in John chapter 4 says, My food is to do the will of him who sent me. In another part, the Lord says, "Not my will, but your will." So the Lord always took the Father's will. The Lord was always one with the Father's will. And the Lord's will was always in harmony with God's will. So what about our will? How do we set our will to be aligned with God's will? I like these two words in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 that I just read. These two words, fear and trembling. Fear is our inward motive. And trembling is our outward attitude. When we turn to the Lord in our spirit, there's always a fear and a trembling. Lord, what I do may not be what you want. Lord, I am here seeking your will. Lord, I want to do your will. If we have that openness, then the Lord has a way to enlighten our mind. The Lord will speak to us and reveal his will. I was just talking to my wife about yesterday. My wife and I also went to the children's camp. And this whole week, we were just considering, Lord, should we go to this children's camp? And we were not clear whether we should go or not. But we didn't decide right away if we should go or not. We just gave this matter to the Lord and we prayed. And the more that we prayed, the more we didn't get an answer right away. Sometimes the Lord makes us wait. He won't answer us right away. But it's during this time that He has a way to spread. He has a way to saturate. Because I myself have a part of my disposition is that I like to make decisions quickly. I like to do things very quickly. But the Lord, through this experience, I felt was able to spread and saturate my soul a little bit more. So the Lord uses all of our situations. And He's to help us, to open us, so that He can spread and He can saturate. He can make His home in that part of our heart. We don't know where He wants to move next. I don't know what the Lord wants to touch this week in me. But our attitude is fear and trembling. Lord, I am open to You. Lord, I don't want to remain where I am. Lord, I want You to spread into more parts of my soul this week. And lastly, the matter of the emotion. Is our emotion under the control of the Spirit? Is our emotion with the Lord's joy? I feel both my wife and I, we had the Lord's joy yesterday at the children's camp. We felt that was really the Lord's will for us to go.
Amen.
So, saints, I'm just so happy that we're endeavoring to go on together.
Amen.
This is not a small matter. The Lord will use as long as He needs. And He will use our entire lifetime to operate in us. To operate in us both the willing and the working. But this also requires our cooperation. This requires us to be open unreservedly to Him. This requires us to be in fear and trembling. And to allow Him to saturate and spread into the different parts of our heart so that the Lord can be fully expressed. He can be fully expressed in our mind, our emotion, and our will. And the church today can be the church of the living God. When somebody comes to the meeting, when somebody contacts you at work or in the supermarket, they will realize that you are different. Not because of a regulation or a requirement or a creed, but because of the living God in us. The living God in us is spreading and saturating us. And our mind, our emotion, our will are expressing the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord for what He's doing in us.
Amen.
Amen. God is operating.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, we will cooperate.
Amen.
Lord, thank You. We can, Lord, open to You in this way.
Amen.
Lord, we do give You this next week.
Amen.
Lord, that we would be fully open to You.
Amen.
Lord, You can saturate and spread into our heart.
Amen.
Lord, You can make Your home more in our heart.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we love You.
Amen.
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 It would be good to...